You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 20 May. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, we chat with Rowan Williams from Nitrogen Fund Managers, Markets Don't Fight the Fed. And we've also got Lorian Fenter, director at One Day Only, really trying to dig into the changing online consumer habits. Chris Skitter, CEO, Astral Foods. How are they operating during lockdown? Are we still going to be getting our chickens to our tables? Some morning headlines, Business Day, up to 2 million jobs could be lost in Gauteng's version of the Great Depression. And for MoneyWeb, Comair not insolvent and can be rescued, according to the business rescue practitioners. Morning markets overnight, S&P 500 off 1%, NASDAQ 0.5% down. Asia mixed, but Nikkei leading the way up 1%. Commodities, green again. Palladium above 2,000, platinum just under 900, gold 1755, ZAR 1830, and the overnight futures calling our local market to open ever so slightly green.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Rowan Williams, he's from Nitrogen Fund Managers. Rowan, morning, appreciate the time. Markets still running a bit of a sell-off in the US, but nothing significant. Commodities still broadly leading the way. Is this really a story of the classic sort of don't fight the Fed? When the Fed's throwing hundreds of billions of dollars, if not trillions, markets will rise, and the best thing we can do is either watch in astonishment or jump on the bus.
Yeah, so it does certainly seem that way. That seems to be the primary driver, because certainly the economic news and any sort of earnings updates that we're getting from companies would not fill investor with confidence. So it is really about betting about the future, how long this downturn will last, and what will companies look like it out on the other side. So it does seem that a lot of investors are erring on the side of confidence and saying it's a temporary setback, and given the support that we're getting from the monetary authorities, stocks remain a good bet, and we should be in them, basically.
If I bring it home locally, we saw RFG Holdings results yesterday. That was the old Rhodes Food Group. I mean, not a bad set. I mean, obviously South Africa doing well because it was too late March and we see some panic buying. What we're not seeing, and I'm chatting with Chris Skitter in a moment, food producers, you know, they're still operating. They're still out there. We're still eating. But I'm imagining they're going to be finding it tough, and they're probably going to be having some cost creeps, which might be taking some of the shine off their margin.
Yeah, so that does seem to be the theme, and even where those companies have been defensive, and particularly food, and we all are still spending money on that, certainly. But the costs of operating are quite considerable, and the additional safety measures in certain places, there may have been temporary shutdowns, disruptions, there may be supply chain issues. And on top of that, the government has indicated that they will be scrutinizing any price increases in this environment. So any cost push pressures, which a number of companies are feeling, they're going to struggle to pass on through to the consumer. And so the margins are going to be squeezed. And so where the top line may be okay and may actually grow in certain instances, it's going to be very difficult to go profit in this environment.
And I imagine we're seeing similar in the retailers. I mean, you know, ShopRite around 100, Pick and Pay under 50, Spar around 165. They've got two issues. To your point, the inability to pass on prices, the increase in costs because of PPE for staff and for customers. Mm-hmm. But they've also got the issue of, you know, Pick and Pay is only selling about 80% of their product on the back of it. So notwithstanding, we're still eating, we're still shopping there, they're struggling in the lockdown environment.
Yeah, so those categories that have been shut down, liquor, clothing, tobacco, general merchandise, you wouldn't realize it, but it makes up a fair amount of the turnover of these retail groups. And so having a high operating leverage, quite a large fixed cost base, if you lose 20% of your top line, you're going to struggle to recover all of that in gross profit and eventually margin. So again, the profits, I think, are going to be disappointing, particularly the retailers. I mean, don't even get started with the more discretionary retailers. That is really going to be a tough set of results.
Yeah, and a lot of that sort of that 20% they've lost is the high margin sort of businesses. Richemont results were out late last week, and they're looking to hold back on a dividend, offering us a warrant instead. Perhaps maybe they'll get back to us on that. They've got 2.5 billion euros in cash. They now just raised another 2 billion of debt, that being euros. No problem with that. They've got a giant amount of cash. The stock is holding up relatively well, all things considered. And I got to say, I'm not convinced about the ability to sell high-end watches going forward. I mean, you know, forget during lockdown, even post-lockdown, yet the market seems to think otherwise. What are you guys looking at, seeing when you look at Richemont?
Yeah, so one of the key things an investor needs to look at is how behavior is going to change in the short term and potentially in the long term, and things like a reduction in international travel, and what does that mean in terms of demand for high-end watches and other luxury goods, and just consumers feeling a little bit threatened by their balance sheets and so saving more and spending less. And I tend to agree with you. I think demand will be muted, and it may take some time to bounce back. And I guess the company's actions in terms of passing on the dividend and then raising a significant amount of capital when they already have a lot of cash to really shore up the balance sheet gives you some indication, I would think, that they're also concerned about the future and taking advantage of this low rate environment. So they raise that 2 billion at a very reasonable funding rate. So it's time to be very cautious.
Yeah, that's a great point. The Ruperts are typically cautious, but when they're off holding cash, raising cash, that tells you a lot about how they are seeing their future, and the markets should listen to management teams. They know what they're doing. Rowan Williams, Nitrogen Fund Managers, appreciate the time.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with my favorite scientist, although I stress food scientist, not pandemic scientist, Chris Skitter, CEO at Astral Foods. Chris, morning. Thanks for your time. Your results were out 6 months to end March, revenue flat. Earnings per share, revenue slightly up, sorry. Earnings per share flat at 9.51. This was to end March. How are you trading during lockdown, your operations? I imagine you've got challenges, but you're in supplying food. That's critically important. The protein, South Africans need their protein.
Good morning, Simon. Yes, we were quite worried when nobody knew a lot about this lockdown. But we were regarded as an essential food service, and we had to adapt accordingly. Up to now, and I can't see that changing, our operations are running like clockwork, and we call it clockwork because it's a fully integrated business and a lot of different operations that have to work together. But to date, our operations running at about 99.2%. Our attendance figures from our staff is applaudable. It's close to 100%. The supply chain worked well. Our input suppliers and service providers all aligned with our business, and it's going well at this point in time from an operational point of view.
I mentioned up front, when a customer thinks of poultry, they probably think of a hen house in the back of somebody's garden. That's not what it is. This is a science. This is I imagine, a global supply chain. I mean, obviously, your maize is local, but you've got genetic products in terms of, you know, new birds coming through and the like. You've got your keeping warm, keeping heated, millions per day. This is a clockwork operation that is operating very much just in time.
Absolutely. And just to give you an idea, our planning cycle is 2.5 years. So we've got 4 generations of chickens on the ground, and at any point in time, 57 million birds to take care of with regard to feeding, ventilation, medication, caretaking, and everything that goes with that. So 37 million chickens. Just try to imagine that on 188 farms. Something of interest is If you don't get, we get our genetic supply from Scotland. It's a global supplier, but it's based in Scotland because of biosecurity purposes. But we had to charter a Boeing and fly in just a couple of crates of chicken for our fourth generation breeding. And just imagine at what cost that comes. But that is to keep this 2.5 year pipeline to the brim.
Looking to the future and a couple of chickens flying first class there. We saw import tariffs go up for frozen bone-in portions. That came March 2020. We've also had an issue in South Africa of imports, and we could call them dumping. I know certainly you would call them dumping. Are those helping prices? Are we seeing a little less of the dumping, particularly from Europe and South America?
Simon, at this point in time, there is still no impact from the increase in the tariff. We only have import figures from SARS up to the end of March, and obviously that would not have been affected because March chicken coming into the country would have been ordered way before the increase in the tariff. So we're waiting for the April figures. We might get them in about 7 days' time, and then we'd like to see if there was any impact on that. But I think May will be the month that will give us a clear indication that this increase in tariff really helped. Or if it didn't help, then I've been correct all along that it's typical dumping. Other countries dump a product that they don't need at a cost below their production cost. That means if they sit with a surplus of certain portions of the chicken, they're going to send them across the globe wherever they can find an easy market. And South Africa has always been that. We've never been against typical imports, but it's that part where you sell a part of the chicken somewhere else and not in your backyard at a cost way below your overall production cost. So to date, no sign of assistance from that import duty.
A last question. The QSR sector, quick service restaurants, I imagine that's quite a chunk of the broad poultry industry and Astral as well. Obviously, that has been significantly hurt by lockdown. Is that a big enough chunk of the operations to be noticeable to yourselves?
Simon, just a bit of background. South Africa produces now currently 19.6 million birds per week. Of that, 20% goes to the restaurant and QSR industry, and that was locked down overnight. So just imagine if you've got those birds in the pipeline and specialized product for those restaurants, what do you do with it? Because it came at quite a sudden impact to us. So Astral's are not really massive in that market. We've got more of a balanced portfolio. That that restaurant market is about 6% of our product. So it didn't impact us that badly, but the industry as a whole were hit hard by that lockdown. 20% of chicken now have to find their way somewhere else. But the indirect impact on Astral will be there. We will not escape that because the other producers or our competitors would simply have to channel that restaurant QSR chicken now into fresh or frozen, which is our bigger market. So as I say, I don't think anybody in this country from a chicken or any other industry will escape the impact of this massive lockdown.
Yeah, quick math there, 19.6 million a week, 20%, that's 4 million extra chickens that we need to eat as South Africans. That's one for every 15 of us, not too hard. Chris Skitter, CEO, Astral Foods.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Lorian Fenta. She's a director at One Day Only. They're obviously an online business. Online sales back for about a week. Now, Lorian, if my habits are a reflection of the trend, there's a bunch of things that I needed that I couldn't get that I've suddenly bought in the last week. My doorbell's been ringing with delivery. I imagine you're seeing booming trade. Is this like never before? Are we setting records in your business here?
Good morning, Simon. Yes, we are delighted to have that e-commerce opening up again. And I think it definitely is a very welcome boost to our business to see sales going up. And I think it's wonderful. I think we've been wanting to encourage customers to shop online for a long time now. So I think it is a wonderful push in that direction. But I think more than that, obviously, it's exactly what you said. Everybody has been sitting in lockdown waiting, being very, very patient. But we all have needs. We all have things that we're wanting to buy, needing to buy, et cetera. And so it's been a very welcome opportunity for people to be able to get the things that they're needing. So, yes, we definitely have seen an uptake.
South Africa's traditionally had very low online retail sales. It's the brick and mortar has still been the dominant. Online, sort of less single-digit numbers. We buy air tickets, we do our banking online. But beyond that, we kind of like the malls and the bricks and mortars. This is obviously changing, thanks to lockdown. Is this a trend that the industry can sustain to some degree and keep some of this extra traffic as we move through the levels and ultimately get back to normality?
Absolutely. I think Wonder Only has been going for the last 10 years, and we really strive to have amazing deals, wonderful brands, great savings. So really all this is doing is bringing more focus and attention to wonderful deals that people can get. And I think more than ever right now, people are looking for great value. But we do want, good brands. We do want a good deal. So I think it really does speak to what South Africans are looking for right now.
So I suppose there's a couple of drivers here. One is, everyone loves a deal. That's a given, I suspect. It's things we can't simply buy in the sort of brick and mortar right now. It's also, we simply don't want to be going out to brick and mortars. We'd rather do it from the safety of our home. Are you managing the crush? I imagine your warehouses are busier than normal. That's scalable. The delivery side of the equation, are the delivery options still there? Are you able to keep to your ideal delivery times?
Look, we've obviously got a massive backlog from the last 2 months where there have been a lot of products that we haven't been able to deliver. So we have been running deals over that time. People have been able to purchase the items that we've always promised to deliver after lockdown. So since Thursday, everybody has been delivering like crazy, and we're very grateful for the patience that our customers are showing us. It is obviously slightly longer delivery times. But in saying that, we've managed to get an unbelievable amount of goods out the door over the last few days, and we'll continue to do so. So I think that's very exciting. And, we're used to the volumes definitely over November and over Black Friday. We have massive, massive volumes. And I would say that right now, obviously, with this backlog, we've got similar volumes going through the door. So, yes, it's scalable. Yes, it's achievable. But it definitely is just going to take a few more days to get everything 100% under control. But I think you're right, there are people looking for items that they haven't been able to get. And so over the last few days, we've really seen an absolute spike in things like treadmills, which, people are desperate to get some exercise and they can't necessarily get it in that short window. We've had a massive spike in things like beds, mattresses, home items. So pots and air fryers, et cetera, things that people can use at home. There's definitely been a spike in products that we have seen that are showing what customers are needing and wanting right now.
That's fascinating. So really, we're out there shopping, and that's been what I've been doing. I haven't gone and bought any, for want of a phrase, luxuries or toys, I suppose I could call them. I've been buying those essentials, but my eyes are starting to wander and move across to the other bits online. Lockdown's tough, but you've been seeing this really sort of getting the position. Positioning yourself, are you seeing much in the sort of more sort of fun area, or has it really been essentials?
No, I think it's been essentials. Up until about a week ago, we've seen massive sales in terms of hand sanitizers and masks and products that are definitely COVID-related and things like thermometers. But as I say, I think now people are realizing that, there has to be life after COVID. So we are definitely seeing some higher value items selling a lot faster right now. And I wouldn't say it's necessarily fun items, but things that people are desperately wanting and needing that are maybe more on the luxury side. We're definitely seeing a massive spike in clothing sales. Obviously, people are, winter's coming and they're needing those. So I think it's just we watch daily, by the minute, what people are buying. And we respond to that. And we've had an incredible, incredible team who have been responding to the figures on a daily basis and just tailoring the kinds of products that we are selling and offering every day.
It's Lorian Fenter. She's a director at One Day Only, talking how online is responding. That's it for today. You'll find us live every weekday morning, 6:30 at moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app. Podcast from 7 a.m. on the website, on the app, or on your favorite podcatcher that you're using. My thanks to our guests. My thanks to Cordora and Eddie for helping put the show together. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.